The following program is not medical, psychological, or psychiatric advice of any kind. It is for entertainment purposes only. For any of that, please contact your doctor. On today's episode of Dream Meetings, what does seeking out a mirror in a dream have to do with the feelings we have about ourselves? Who's the mystery man a woman dreams about for nearly two decades? Plus, a friend's deceased son returns to a listener in her dreams as a deceased superstar. Those dreams and more to be discussed today on Dream Meetings. 1-800-606-7193 is our phone number here at Dream Meetings to share your dream with us. You can also write it on the website at dreamingradio.com, D-R-E-A-M-I-N-G, radio.com. Let's jump right into our first call of the day. Hi, you're on Dream Meetings.
Hi, Tony Brisky. This is Diana. I've been hearing your show for some time, and I hear a lot at work. And this morning, I had this weird dream where I was in this, like, mansion, and it had, like, many bathrooms and kitchens, and they were all clean except this one kitchen area where I think we were cooking, and all of my coworkers and I were eating. But we were getting ready for a party or something, and I was desperately trying to find a mirror, and I couldn't find a mirror. Throughout the whole dream, I stumbled upon a room that had like a two-way mirror, but I didn't really get to look at myself. It was like more see-through, and I was kind of like mad because I'm like, I can't see what I'm wearing or what makeup I put on. And one of my coworkers opened the window and told me what we were doing. I'm like, oh, this is a two-way mirror. I want to see what's happening in there. I'm like, close it. And she didn't, but then my alarm went off, and that was about it about my dream. What's going on? I don't know. I think it's just I've been working so many hours. We're getting at the end of the month where we start working crazy hours. Sorry if my child is behind. I'm at a school right now. My daughter has practice. But, yeah, that was my dream. I mean, I wish I was more detailed or remembered more. But, yes, well, thank you, and have a good day.
Thanks for calling in and sharing that dream with us. Mirrors are an interesting thing, and they can really mean a lot of different things, a lot of different aspects of almost the same topic when it comes to dreaming. Ultimately, dreaming about mirrors and your own reflection is something that kind of points to self-reflection. Hence, it's a mirror. It has a lot to do with thinking about who you really are and kind of pondering your thoughts about yourself. Now, you had some interesting views of that in this dream where it became a two-way mirror, kind of foggy, kind of cloudy in some cases. What that typically means is kind of an inner battle where you're trying to come to a realization or an acceptance of who you are, contemplation of your character aspects and who you want to be and who you really feel that you are. Are you trying to be someone for other people? Are you trying to be you for yourself at certain times? What is the real you? A lot of times dreaming about the mirror and the way that you see yourself in the mirror is going to reveal quite a bit about some of that that inner battle that we have sometimes with determining who we are and who we really want to be. Sometimes those can be two very different things where we strive to be this version of ourselves, but we end up being this other version. And ultimately it's up to us to take control and decide who we are. And ultimately when we're happy on both ends is when things are best, but that can be a struggle. So I would say, take a look at that part of your life right now. Are you happy with who you are, what you're doing? Or are you struggling with that? Are you having issue between those two thoughts? And it doesn't mean that you're a bad person or anything like that. It's just sometimes, life can be difficult. Life can be stressful. Life can be exhausting. And sometimes it's just not the easiest to be the best version of ourselves, or the optimized version, I guess I would say, of ourselves that we ultimately all kind of strive to be. Thanks for the call. Hope that that helped a little bit. That's some insight and thoughts onto that. 1-800-606-7193 is my phone number at Dream Meetings. 1-800-606-7193 to share your dream with us. Let's go over to a letter. Mary writes in from dreamingradio.com. I often have dreams of the future and try to make note when these dreams happen. 2 months before my father got his diagnosis, I dreamt that he came to me and told me he had cancer. So I learned to pay attention to my dreams. 2003, I had a vivid dream of a dark-haired toddler running up to my husband in our dining room and calling out, "Papa!" I made sure to tell my husband to be prepared to be a grandpa and not to be surprised. 2 years later, we received a call from our older daughter, and she asked to speak with her dad. And from listening to his side of the conversation, I was able to determine that we were indeed going to be grandparents for the first time. My husband was unsurprised but pleased by the call and was able to be supportive to our daughter while she was feeling vulnerable. In the first dream of my father, we had just lost my mother the previous year. He was visiting with us regularly, and I honestly believe I might have picked up on something from spending all the extra time with him. In the second dream, there was nothing to indicate why I would have this dream of a granddaughter. We were doing our everyday thing, working, raising a teenage son, nothing particularly exciting. We had not even had much contact with our daughter during that time. I don't really have any questions. This thought I would share. I do believe we can pick up things subconsciously from being around people. I was able to tell my younger daughter that she was pregnant before she actually told us. So I guess it's just a thing for me. What are your guys' thoughts on that? As far as being able to pick up on things before they're actually told to us or where they're relayed almost through our subconscious in a dream. Is that like a form of some sort of telepathy or paranormal? Or is it just kind of our minds putting pieces of the puzzle of life together and saying, well, here's likely the next piece in that puzzle? There's a lot of things, a lot of directions life can take us down. I mean, for example, and I'm not trying to discount this in any means, I'm just shooting out another way of looking at this here as to how our minds may put these things together. If you have a parent who is older or a loved one who is older, the odds at some point are that they're going to have something occur in their life, in their health, that's not going to be very good. As we get older, obviously, you're statistically likely or much more likely to have things happen that are not going to be good for your health. So the fears, the anxieties, the thoughts of all these things, of course, run through our minds. And I'm wondering if that's what had run through your mind. The timing is questionable because it was obviously dream information very, very fast. So could you have picked up on something? I believe that that is a possibility in some cases. However, I wonder, are there other times you have dreams about people where the possible event, the anxiety-provoking event never happens, and only the ones that actually happen are the ones that stand out? That'd be a question I'd want to ask you, and one you can self-examine when hearing this. The idea of having a daughter who's of the age and on their own to have children, that's going to be something that's going to go through my mind, I'm sure, because I'm an anxious person. I'm an anxious person on all this stuff. So all these things would run through my mind at some point before they actually happen. And I'm sure I'll have dreams about them. As far as the timing being right to having the dream and then getting the call of X event happening, that could be very questionable. I mean, it could be quite a ways down the road. It could be, you know, not at all. It could be the next day just by luck of the draw. But I do believe there is a possibility in times where we are able to pick up on these things before others may know. And I also believe there's a possibility of just connecting the dots of what's likely going to be the next step in our lives and the lives of those around us. Thanks for sharing that experience with us. 800-606-7193, our phone number here at Dream Meanings, to share your dream with us, to have it analyzed a bit. We'll chat about it on the show and give you some feedback. You can also write in, if that's your thing, our website, dreamingradio.com. Let's go to our next letter. Crystal writes in, "It's going to be long, so please be patient. I'm also going to try and not be all over the place. Thank you for that. I've been dreaming about this guy for the past 20 years or so. I'm now 41, just so you can have somewhat of a timeline. I've never met him in real life, and as far as I can tell, he does not exist. So it all pretty much started off with him not having a face, meaning I knew what he wore: boots, Doc Martens, usually purple or green, jeans, and a flannel. His face was always blurred out except for his smile. When we met, it was usually in a bar or a club-type setting, introduced by friends or accidentally bumping into each other. Never exchanged names. That was that. The first real dream was back in the apartment that I grew up in. My mother and her childhood friend were reminiscing. I was bored and wanted to leave. It had been raining and it was dark out. My mother had told me to be careful as I was getting closer to my car. I heard a noise. Looked to my left and noticed a leopard in the middle of the street. I'd interrupted its nap. It noticed me as I did it. By the time I got on all fours, I was running towards the street. A car had noticed me and let me in just as a leopard had approached me. The guy on the passenger side was laughing in shock and disbelief, and I was thanking them over and over. The guy, which will remain as that from here on out, who was driving, seemed very irritated that I was in the car. Never said a word to me. The one in the passenger, though, he turned around to ask if I was okay, and he said, "Hey, I know you. I know I know you." And I was thinking how cute he was. Started to shake my head, no, and then he smiled, and I was thinking, I know that smile. He shook his hand out to me and said, "Hi, my name is Peter." We fell into a very comfortable state after that. We didn't go anywhere. The car never moved. That was the beginning of me and Peter. Second important dream, I was about 28 in real life when this took place. I time traveled in this dream. I had a girl with me, a.k.a. the girl, or Tanya. She goes by either name. She, I felt, was my spirit guide because she is with me in some form or fashion when I dream about Peter. Anyway, the time was either 17th or 18th century. I found myself at a very famous ball, dressed as a peasant, hiding in the shadows, completely freaked out and not understanding why I was there. She was in the room with me, but behind me, supporting me. I noticed him dancing with someone. He was very elegant. He caught my eye and looked shocked, but relieved. As he was walking towards me, I saw over his shoulder the guy, noticing Peter coming towards me. He looked angry and had started to walk towards us. As Peter reached me, the room shifted, and now I was standing in a foyer of what looked like a courthouse. I was pacing, nervous, scared. The girl was with me, trying to calm me, saying to me that things will sort themselves out, just be calm. Then two huge doors slammed open, and the foyer was now flooded with people who were happy. Some were angry. I wasn't really sure what was going on. Then Peter was fighting through the crowd. He scooped me up and twirled me around and said, "He approved it. My father approved it. We can be together. Finally be together." I was confused, not understanding what was going on. I just kept seeing the guy behind him looking very angry, hateful, and pissed. There were so many people fighting for his attention, grabbing at him, at me. He never let go of my hand, but someone became forceful, and the guy took advantage and said in my ear, "This isn't supposed to happen. You're not supposed to be here. You need to leave." Peter approached and held me close. I could smell him. I could feel his hair on his face, feel his breath, his heartbeat. The girl tugged me from behind and told me that it was time that we leave. He heard her and held me closer. I started to cry, and he told me he would find me no matter what it took or how long it took, that he'd find me. And I woke up crying. The third important dream, I was 38 in real life. This dream took place in the future, possibly 5 to 7 years into the future. This is the only dream that I can recall that neither the girl or the guy were present. He owned a construction company that my company was doing business with. I was there on site and needed to speak to the manager about an issue we were having. The foreman told me I needed to speak to the boss and directed me out back. I approached him. He was wearing construction boots, jeans, dark blue, red plaid shirt. He had a hard hat on and a clipboard in his hand. When he turned around, his hair was short and had a beard. He almost looked like Jeffrey Dean Morgan. He dropped the clipboard when he saw me. It looked like he had seen a ghost, and I felt like I had walked into a tar pit. I couldn't move. I was in utter shock. He came up to me and hugged me. It was a very awkward hug, though. I did notice that he had a wedding ring on, which punched me in the stomach. His sister was there. She didn't know who I was, but kept nudging us to have coffee. So we did. Met up with him. He was very far away. I've had many encounters with him throughout the years, so it's not like we are or were strangers. Kept fidgeting with his wedding ring. I asked him how long he'd been married, and he said 7 years, but she had died 1 year ago from cancer. I apologized, and he told me it wasn't necessary. Out of instinct, I said it again, and he got angry, stormed out of the cafe. I followed him asking what was wrong, and he went off on me saying things like, why didn't he find me? If you had found me, I wouldn't have fell in love. I wouldn't have gone through the hell of losing her. Why now? Why now? He just kept repeating it over and over, and he told me to leave, and that it was too late. It's just too late. The fourth important dream, this was last year, 2016. I was 40 in real life. I was in my 20s again, living in New York. I've never been there, and Tanya, the girl, was my roommate. She insisted on me going to a poetry reading at this coffee shop that used to be my favorite used bookstore. She was very persuasive. I just quit smoking. There was a bunch of smokers outside and lingered around them enjoying the secondhand smoke, and I noticed Tanya waving at me to come in. To my surprise, the usual hipsters weren't hanging out, but normal-looking folks. What used to be poetry night was just good old open mic night. That guy that Tanya was dating, this go-around, had sung a song. This was the first time that he wasn't a complete douche to me, and the first time the two of them were paired together. I saw this guy sitting on the other side of the room. He just looked like John Cusack. He looked up. We caught eyes. I felt a jolt throughout my body. I looked away and noticed that he was still staring at me. He smiled. Then the crowd started to applaud. The guy and Tanya embraced. He sat on the other side of her. Then he got on stage. He at first introduced himself as Paul, as he pointed to the name tag embroidered on his shirt. And everyone said, "Hi, Paul," and laughed. I didn't get it. He read an excerpt from Catcher in the Rye, which was my favorite part of the book. After he was done reading, we went to get some coffee, and all of a sudden, someone put their hand on my shoulder, and it shocked me. He apologized. I looked, and it was him. He apologized and started talking to the barista about orders, shipments, schedules. I was staring a hole in the side of his head because he knew that it was him. But the name was throwing me off, and the fact that he chose the very same part of that book that was my favorite. We started to talk for hours, it seemed. He explained to me that he bought the building after his parents had died, that they had met here when they were young, and he wanted to make it back to a bookstore in honor of his parents. The name for PPM, Peter, Paul, and Mary. I asked him if Peter was his dad's name. He said no, that he was Peter, and that Paul and Mary were his parents. He nudged me and said I should have already known that. And then he smiled. That all too known Peter smile. We moved in together after a couple of months. He didn't believe in cell phones or social media. We still had an answering machine and a landline. He had a cell phone, but only used it for work. A few years went by. Tanya and the guy got into a huge fight. She wanted to go to this party in the Hamptons and took me with her. It was the first night that I could recall that Peter and I had spent apart. The party was fun, but things went a little black, and I woke up with a very tan, naked guy in bed with me and a few empty condom packages on the floor. I couldn't find my clothes, but I put on a t-shirt that was on the floor and made my way to the bathroom in a sheer panic at what I assumed had happened. I didn't remember anything. My phone started to ring, and it was Peter. I was scared to answer. Then I heard, "I hear the ringing in here." The door opened, and it was Peter, Tanya behind him. His phone dropped. He left, and I ran after him. We started screaming and fighting, which we never did. He was showing me pictures on Facebook that Tanya had posted. I was kissing another guy, thrown over another guy's back, half naked, with a bottle of tequila in one hand and shooting a peace sign with the other. I heard a loud crack. The ground shook. We were divided. Everything went quiet, and in slow motion, he was crying. His voice started off calm and then got louder as the sentence ended. He said, "You said that you loved me. You'd never hurt me. You'd never stop searching. You said you'd find me, but you never do. I found you. I always find you. We are on borrowed time. This isn't real. It's never real." And then he disappeared. This was the last time that I dreamt about him. There are way more dreams with Peter, so much that I have written several books of my dreams with him. These are a few that stand out the most to me. I hope that you read this, even though it's quite long. I'm hoping I'll be able to hear it on your podcast. I'm very thankful that you have this podcast. It makes me happy knowing I'm not alone out there with all the crazy things that happen in my brain. I have many more dreams that I'd like to share, but for another time, thank you so much. Nothing abnormal or unusual was going on at the time of these dreams. It's such a broad time frame, it would be hard to pin the exact issue. Could this be a past life situation or someone that I'm tied to or connected to or heartbreak than I feel when I wake up, and sometimes take me weeks to get over. At one point, I begged him to stop visiting me because it was unbearable being without him. It was just too cruel. Sometimes he changes his appearance, but I always know that it's him because I know his smile and I know his scent. I know this sounds crazy. Thank you for writing that story in and sharing it with us. Very, very interesting. All the different time periods, all the different settings, all the different scenarios that occur within the confines of the stream. I'm going to jump all the way back to the very first incarnation of Peter in your dreams and the leopard that chased you into the car where you initially met him. And what the leopard symbolizes and where I think this might tie into, although unable to, you know, see into the future, it really may have tied into the path that your life continued to go down. You'll be the one to answer if that's accurate or not. But when you're being chased by a leopard or attacked by a leopard, it has to do with confidence in your future success. It has to do with being overly confident about your future and what you believe it has set for you and what's going to be happening. I'm wondering if at the time when you were young and you had the dream, if you felt, oh, this is going to happen, maybe not literally, but that you were going to find that perfect man, that image of a great person that would be your companion and your lover. And the fact that he seemed to already know you, but you didn't quite know him, leads me to wonder if this person is already in your life. And it's not Peter. And maybe you've been too confident looking everywhere but where this Peter character is for the character in your life that may be, in fact, in that role. Because he always seems to know you. He always seems to be kind of frustrated, kind of shocked that you are not realizing it's him, or that it should be him until it's just staring you in the face that there he is, and then it can't happen, it can't work out for whatever reason. I'm wondering if there's a friend around you that you may not be aware of that has feelings for you, or that you are aware has feelings for you beyond just being a friend and has been there for a long time in your life. And maybe you've said, no, I'm not interested in him like that. When in reality, that person may end up being, or may be, you know, the perfect match, the perfect Peter. But it's not something that you've necessarily considered that way before, and that Peter may be a constant subconscious suggestion from your mind that, hey, there already is this person here, but they're just your friend right now. Maybe there's something else here. Just a thought. I'd examine that a little bit more. Let me know if I'm on with that at all. I think you may surprise yourself. You may end up examining that a little bit further and having maybe a possible uncomfortable conversation with someone and discovering, oh my God, I had no idea that they felt this way. Or I thought maybe they did, but nah, I never really quite felt that way. But, you know, and it's now at a point where, you know, this is who we are. When you're, you know, I'd say above the age of 30, you start to realize a lot of things of what's important in life and the companionship you have and who people are and what people are and how important it is to be with people that really care about and care about you. And obviously you need to be attracted to them. That's important. But it's not as superficial as the world was, I think, to a lot of us, you know, in our early 20s and such, where I think a lot of times we could brush off things like, oh, we're a perfect match, but they're not 100% in the looks department or something. They're at 85, but not, you know, we can be like that when we're younger. You can be like it when you're older too, really. But I'm wondering if that's if there's something, and I'm not saying looks are it or that you're superficial or anything of that nature, but just sometimes we can write off what's right in front of us for so long, and it's constantly staring us in the face. Think about that for a little bit and let me know. If I'm remotely close in that. If I'm not, I apologize. 1-800-606-7193 is our phone number at Dream Meanings to share your dream with us. You can also write in, like she just did, on our website, which is dreamingradio.com. And by the way, if you've not done so yet, please press subscribe. Whatever platform it is you listen to us on, that helps us grow the show, helps other folks find us, grows us in those ratings and rankings. So if you don't mind, please press subscribe. Greatly, greatly appreciate your help in doing that. Continuing on, Rebecca writes into us, I had a dream, a visitation with someone on the other side that I'll never forget. On September 28th of 2003, I got a call from my best friend Hope's husband, Danny, stating that her son, Sean, who had just turned 28 years old, had passed away. I nearly fell to my knees when I got the news, as I had known Sean since before he was born. I told Danny to have her call me anytime to talk or whatever she needed. Hope ended up calling me many times, and we both cried and listened as she talked. I was not able to be with her as she was in Ohio, and I was in California. The phone calls were the only way I could be with her to try and help her get her through this. A few months later, I had a very unusual dream. I was at this TV studio sitting in the green room interviewing the Beatles. Yes, all four of them were there, and I was talking to them. And as we were all sitting on the couches that were there, suddenly there's a knock at the door. The guy sticks his head in, telling the Beatles that they have 5 minutes and needed to get to the stage. So we all stood up, we all shook hands, and each walked by me heading towards the door. I thanked them for their time. Just as they begin to go out the door, I think it was John Lennon who came back and gave me a kiss on the cheek. As he was backing away after the kiss, I actually felt a kiss on my cheek while I was in bed and heard the voice of Sean say, "Thanks, Becky, for being there for my mom." The kiss was so real that it woke me up with me rubbing my cheek. And I looked around to the bedroom to see if Sean was there, but there was no one. I knew that once I got up that I would have to talk to Hope and tell her of my dream. That morning when I got up, I called Hope and told her of the dream and asked her if she knew if Sean and his wife had a favorite Beatles song. She was not sure. We talked a little longer, and then I had to leave for work. I started up the truck to go to work. The radio was on, which normally it would be off until I was ready to go. The song that was playing was a Beatles song. To me, this was Sean thanking me for letting his mom know that he had visited me in my dream and he was okay. Do I believe in the afterlife? I most certainly do, and I believe that our loved ones who have crossed over are always nearby watching over us. My best friend from high school had unexpectedly lost her oldest son, and even though I could not be there for her in person, she lived in West Virginia while I was in California. I was there for her call 24/7 anytime she needed to talk or just cry and let it out. Hope would call me at night, and I'd be there for her. I didn't care how long either. If she needed me, I was there. I don't really have any questions, but do know that those on the other side watch over us. It's interesting that there's a correlation there into reality beyond just the dream itself, where you had the visitation, if you will, or the sign of the visitation having a little more legitimacy than just the dream itself. I would be interested to hear, you didn't mention in the story where you had asked if they had a favorite Beatles song, and I'm wondering if you did find any information about that out, if there was a connection there with Sean and his wife, if there was some other piece to this that could further solidify this being a visitation dream, as we would call it on the Ghost podcast over at realghoststoriesonline.com. It to me is, I would think, fairly self-explanatory if we're going to look at it from the realm of, is this some sort of a message, some sort of a thank you or a confirmation that he is on the other side? I would say yes. I don't think there's a whole lot of meaning beyond it. If we're looking at it from an aspect of, is it not paranormal? Is it something else? I would say it would be a subconscious dream where someone is basically trying to deal with this loss and in our mind trying to find peace and identify where they may be on another side. That they're not gone forever, but they are, in fact, somewhere else. And that is the closure that sometimes our mind could give us. But I could really see it being either or by any stretch of reasoning. From what we know and we hear on our paranormal show, this stuff happens. with a lot of evidence to prove and to point to there being something paranormal reaching out, or something supernatural reaching out to give a sign. So I wouldn't discount your interpretation of it whatsoever. Just wanted to give all possible sides of what one may think of it. Thank you for sharing that with us. 1-800-606-7193, our phone number here at Dream Meetings to share your dream with us. Of course, you can also write it on our website, dreamingradio.com. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Dream Meetings. If you wrote in, called in, thank you very much. If you have not done that yet, please do so. Helps us create a better show for you. We get more letters and more calls. The more of those we get, more shows we can put out. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thank you for listening to Dream Meetings.